Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Wholeness Podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Catherine, intuitive coach specializing in mindset mastery and committed to bringing you back to wholeness, the truth of who you were before you ever thought you were less than, whether it's due to a number on the scale, a trauma, or challenges in life. So many of us have limiting beliefs that we somehow aren't enough, and I'm here to tell you it's just not true. As a leader in transformation, having been a coach for almost a decade, with a background as a nutritionist, fitness expert, and hypnotherapist, I specialize in emotional and mindset mastery, with a spiritual connection to support you in living your best life in a body that you love. Listen each week to receive expert guidance, live coaching, and have your questions answered. It's time for you to have wholeness now.
All right, guys, I am so honored and excited to have Eric Morris here with us today. Eric, it is like I'm beyond words, and I'm going to just dive right in. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Hi, Melissa. Hi.
Hi. So guys, Eric Morris is my acting teacher, and he is an American actor, an acting teacher, and author with over 10 books, which we're going to talk about today. He founded his own theory of acting based on the works of Lee Strasberg and Martin Landau. And his passion for truth and authenticity is what drove him to create the Eric Morris system of acting. He's worked with some of the biggest names in Hollywood. And what I love so much is that Eric really teaches that there's really no difference between acting and real life, which we're going to dive into today. But his entire system provides actors, and I swear his books apply to everyone, but provide actors with concrete techniques to explore their own psychology as the underlying source of their challenges and unique gifts as actors. So he's been teaching in Los Angeles, New York, and all over the United States, and really all over the world for 53 years. And Eric,
61 years.
61 years. My apologies. And we're going to get into his system and what he's teaching and what he's up to today and these days, especially during COVID. So Eric, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity. I love to talk about my work, and I love to communicate with people about this work, which is unique. And the one thing I want to start with is you mentioned Lee Strasberg and Marty Landau, but the originator or the origin or the basic foundation was Stanislavski, came over in 1925 and 26 to New York and shared his system with American actors just before the founding of the group theater, which was founded in 1931. But in 1925 and 26, he introduced his system to the American actors. And the foundation of that was the American Laboratory Theater and the Theater Guild. So that's where it comes from. Lee was part of the formation of the group theater, which was the basic foundation of the system in this country. And so that's where the background is. But over the years and the evolution of my work is based on Stanislavski. I was influenced by both Lee directly and Martin Landau, who I studied with for 3 years. And in my teaching and working for those 61 years, I developed a system which goes very far beyond the original precepts of the method, Stanislavski, Strasberg, and Stella Adler, Sandy Meisner. I've gone kind of galaxies beyond that in the evolution. And I don't say that in any kind of egocentric way. It's just the truth. I've taken what I've got from them. Without Stanislavski and without Lee Strasberg, there would be no Eric Morris, okay? But as a foundation, I built my own system, clarified it, concretized it, made it affable, usable over those 61 years. And my books are kind of document almost the complete system. So that's really the origin. Everybody builds on other people's discoveries. So I have to give credit to the foundation.
I appreciate that correction. Eric, I want to ask you, you love acting. You started off as an actor. What, and are an actor, what caused you to deviate and actually say, wait, what did you see as the missing component that people weren't teaching, where you said, wait, I need to create something and help actors?
No, that's a very, very, very good question. That's a wonderful question, because it really is probably the most important impetus which stimulated me to do what I'm doing and to create the system. I'm going to get to that in a minute, but I just want to say that I never decided to be a teacher. I was studying with Martin Landau, who was a devotee and of Lee Strasberg, a member of the Actor Studio. And I studied with him, and it was the beginning of a recognition of a process. Up until that time, I had no process. And every time I asked an acting teacher, I graduated from Northwestern University. I was a theater major. I studied with a plethora of acting teachers. And every time I asked the question, how do you do that? Nobody was able to answer that question. How?
Yeah.
How do you do that? Oh, Eric, you think about it. You remember it. You recall it. You've had the experience. Just recall it. That's not a system. That's not a technique. That's not a pragmatic way of really stimulating the authenticity of the reality of experiencing it. So I was very frustrated. When I got into Marty's class and through Lee, I always say this. I got an alphabet, A, B, C, D, E. I had 7 or 8 letters of an alphabet that I could spell words with. This is, yeah. You know, this is an example. It's a metaphor of the whole thing. Once I had those 8 letters, I actually was able to create a how. To some degree, I knew how to stimulate the emotional life that would address the character in a piece of material. So it was with Marty that I was put on this journey, as he was influenced by Lee, doing the work that he learned from Lee. But getting back to your question, this is probably the most important question of all. What the missing link is in the training of actors, and I took a lot of flack for it. I took a lot of criticism, and I became very, very controversial in my early years of teaching. The first 10 years of teaching were much like a nightmare in terms of criticism and I got. But what's missing is that none of the master teachers, and as far as I know, nobody else in the world, deals with liberating the actor's instrument.
Can you explain for people?
I call it instrumental therapy.
Yeah.
Dealing with, over a period of time, I was using in excess of 1,000 different exercises that came to be while I was teaching. When I was working with actors, I pared it down to about 300 now that I use. But
these processes are incredible.
Pardon me?
So, Eric, I just want to interrupt you for 1 minute. Could you just clarify for everyone listening, because we have people that are actors and that aren't. To you, what is the instrument? What would you deem the instrument?
The instrument is you, your mind, your body, your voice, and your emotions. If you were a pianist, your instrument would be a piano. If you were a violinist, your instrument would be a violin, etc. So as an actor, your instrument is you. You, your mind, your body, your voice, your emotions. And people come to acting with enormous blocks, obstacles, fear, tension, redirections, superstitions, things that block the actor from being able to access his own reality, his own organic truths, his own organic impulses. So I encountered this for 7 years. I was a spectator watching him. And The thing I found to be the reality is the actors who had less problems and less obstacles were able to function a lot more fluidly and freely than the actors who had emotional blocks, psychological issues, superstitions, fear, religion, all the things that block them from being able to be impressively effectable and expressive. But what was really the interesting part of that, as I watched these people at the studio, the people who had the greatest number of obstacles actually seemed to be the more talented ones. But the people who had less problems and less obstacles, less blocks, less tension, less fear, less insecurity, had better connection with their, but the people with the greatest blocks and obstacles and insecurities and fear and feelings of a lack of self-esteem and self-worth and entitlement, those people seem to be the more gifted if only they could be unblocked. So it seemed to me when I was teaching, right at the beginning, I would have actors do things that I called instrumental exercises to liberate them from issues, blocks, obstacles, fear, all the things I've just mentioned before. And I was very successful cumulatively with the actors I worked with in liberating them from a lot of their blocks, obstacles, fears, tension, insecurities, building a self-esteem and all of that, so that they were free to act. An actor's issues exist, an actor's problems, blocks exist in two areas, the impressive area and the expressive area. Some actors have difficulty being affected impressively. They seem blocked, they don't let things in, they're not affectable, etc. And some actors are affectable, but they're very blocked, so they can't be expressive. So I found that the problems and the blocks existed in either one or both of those areas. The difficulty allowing oneself to be affected by internal and external stimuli. And if they were able to do that, sometimes the blocks were they couldn't express how they felt. So in these two areas, impressive and expressive, I dealt with instrumental therapy exercises to eliminate the issues. I dealt with a lot of issues that dealt with anger, emotional expression of sexuality, fear, socially obligated behaviors, the fear of crossing the line, of being antisocial, or vulnerability. A lot of people are fearful. A lot of actors were fearful of being vulnerable, affectable, expressive in those areas. So all of my exercises were designed through my perception of what I was exploring with the actors on stage. Yeah. So many of this, actually, they were born right at the moment. You know, I say, try this. And I have the actor do what I call a primal moan, laying on the floor, on the ground of the stage and moaning very deeply to get through the blocks and the obstacles of being affectable, vulnerable, expressive, meaningfully. Well, that was just one of dozens and dozens of exercises that came up. An actor would be standing there and I'd say, okay, do personal inventory. How do I feel? And it was very obvious to me that they were living in their head.
Yes.
And they were verbally dependent. They were describing their feelings using words to describe how they felt, but they weren't connected emotionally. So I said, no more words. I want you to communicate how you feel in sounds or gibberish. So you tell me how you feel, express how you feel, express how you feel. Don't tell me, express it. And I found that as soon as I took the words away from them, they had no other recourse but to express what was underneath the words. So by repetition and accumulation of doing exercises like this, I was successful in collaborating with the actor to free them of lifelong issues and obstacles, blocks, fears. And the most important issue that I've encountered I've been an actor and a teacher for 7 decades, so it's over 70 years now. But the most important and my own personal problems as an actor, the most important issue that I found with every person I've worked with, where the problems arise from a lack of self-esteem, self-trust, yes, self-worth, entitlement. So
did you see a lot of...
Go ahead.
So did you, I mean, the what you teach is experiential acting is getting it and really having an actor know that. I think so many teachers teach and to actually separate the two.
Yeah, well, the actor, let me define experiential acting first.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy to misinterpret that, you know.
Yeah.
My work is based on achieving experiential work, which means you identify what the character in a piece is experiencing by reading the play, by getting what the author says about the character, what the character says about himself, what the other characters in the piece say about the character, and what the character's actions tell you. Once you identify what the character is experiencing overall and seen relationship by relationship, once you identify it, you have to find a way to actually experience that reality. For example, if the actor is dealing with a depth of incredible frustration, living is haunted by the things in his life which frustrate him or her, and they're having trouble dealing with coping with functioning on a daily basis. They have depression, they're depressed. Well, that is what you identify. The author tells you what the character is experiencing. The actor has to find a way from his or her own life experiences to work for as a choice. And I have a whole process, obligation choice, to select a choice from a personal experience, a personal relationship, a personal event in your life that you can recreate so that you, the actor, actually experiences exactly what the character is experiencing. There is no difference except the character is experiencing what he or she is experiencing because of what the author says is causing it. The actor finds his own choices and his own realities to create that will stimulate the adjacent or the same experience or the parallel experience. So the actor is actually experiencing the life of the character on a meaningful, authentic, organic, meaningful basis. It's real. The emotion is real. The impulses are real. The expression is real. It's not some kind of intellectual idea of what you should be expressing or dealing with, hopefully, just depending on given circumstances and creatively or uncreatively manipulating yourself to allow the words to affect the way you feel. Words come out of what you're feeling, and most actors use words to stimulate feeling. That's just the opposite of reality. The words that we express are the sum total of the impulse, of the emotional impulse that expresses those words. Most actors take the words of a piece of material and use those words to tailor their behavior to fulfill the meaning of those words emotionally. Just the opposite of reality. It's just the opposite of reality. So, I mean, I can get carried away. I could talk to you for 20 hours.
Well, it's fascinating to me. You know, and you and I were talking about this earlier. You know, having been a coach now for 12 years, so much of, you know, the work and doing like trauma release work and emotions and our emotional connection to food and the psychology of eating and all of these different things. It was fascinating when I found you, which was such a blessing and a gift in my life to find you. But when I came into class and all of a sudden, so much that I see in the world of you know, therapy and coaching and a lot of the looking at those parts of ourselves is to almost heal them so that they you're no longer affected by them. And it was interesting to come into class and have to go back to those experiences and actually bring them to life and remind yourself of the pain or the sadness or the anger or the joy. But in a way where you've transcended the block that it's causing.
Right.
And that's what you teach that I think is one of the most priceless, beautiful, epic things that I don't see. And I find it to be such a gift. It's a gift in my coaching world. It's a gift for me as an actor. So like when you're doing that, it's so profound, to see how students in your class, me being one of them, gets how it shifts their entire, performance. And so they actually heal through relating to those parts of themselves and no longer shoving them down or trying to not relate to them, but imagine what that would be like. Does that make sense?
Of course. But you see, it's a very common phenomenon in life to want to protect ourselves from the damaging experiences and the relationships that have damaged us. So people block that. They don't want to feel those things. They don't want to feel the pain. They don't want to feel the frustration. They don't want to, they don't want to re-experience the damage. So what they do is they block it. They drop a shield and they begin as actors. Once they come to acting, they attempt to express emotion over that level of blockage or suppression or gunny sacking and pushing it down. And what they're left with is presentational, representational acting. There's no source, there's no origin, there's no nucleus of reality there. So if an actor, let's say an actor is 30 years old, 25 years old, and he comes to class and he spent the last 10, 20 years, whatever, suppressing all of the pain, the damage, the rejection, the fear, all of these experiences which are housed in our unconscious memory banks, they're there. They're housed there. Yeah. And so those negative, damaging feelings liberate themselves into our consciousness subliminally and in our dreams. So the actor approaches something where they are supposed to, the character is having a meltdown. The play opens with the character having a meltdown. Mm-hmm. The actor who has spent 20 years, 15 years protecting himself or herself from feeling these things because they're too painful to feel is left with only one solution or one approach, and that is to impose the meltdown, impose it, start yelling and screaming and pulling your hair and all of that. But then it's phony, it's fake, it's inorganic. So most actors spend their whole life acting that way because they have not dealt with their instrumental obstacles impressively or expressively. And, you know, I made a joke. It's not a joke. Somebody asked me, you know, in my 10 books, I must list, oh, I don't know, maybe 500 obstacles that an actor has, fear, tension, la, 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 la. And somebody said to me once, Eric, how did you come up with all of these things? How did you come up with all of these issues, these blocks, these obstacles? I said, because I had them all. I experienced all of that. That was me. So a lot of my anecdotal work came out of my own problems. I remember being on the stage in Marty's class, collapsing into a ball of tears and crying and retching and saying, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to get rid of this tension. I'm loaded. And when I came to his class, I was already a professional actor for 12 years. I had already done 30 or 40 plays and films and television shows. And I was a professional actor. When I get up on stage, I would shake. And so I just, he said, so I started dealing with that tension. And over a period of 2.5 years, it was Marty, I was able to conquer a lot of my issues. Not all of them by a long shot, but a lot of them. And it set me on this journey. So I will forever be grateful to Lee Strasberg and Martin Landau for opening that door and starting me on that journey. But I was obsessed with finding the answers to how do you do that? How do you get to the place where you're free to act? How do you do that?
And that's what you've given, though. And I mean, in your 10 books, and I have 8 of them, and I've got one pre-ordered, your latest one, which we're going to talk about. But you've done that. Like, I think that so much. I mean, I personally believe that we're here. Every teacher, if you look at what they're teaching, you could date it back to their own struggles. You know, what I teach is what my struggles were.
Sure, sure. That's good. Where else is it going to come from?
Yeah, and I love that you have dedicated your life to supporting and growing. And at age 89, you're sharing, and you know, your passion is what pushes you forward. Your passion to help actors and creators and artists. And so, you know, for instance, the book that we talked about earlier, Second Chance at Life.
Yeah.
You said that is a book that, you know, you really
it's not just for actors, it's for everybody.
Yeah. And so in your work, if somebody's just coming to you, would you have them start at the very first book that you ever wrote if they're a beginning actor?
Thank you for asking me that. I ask people to start with No Acting Please, which I wrote with help from Joan Hoskins. I wouldn't have done it without her. That was my first book. Wrote it in 72. It was published in 77, 1977. And to read that first, and the second book, Irreverent Acting, because those two books together form the entire circle of the work. And the other books go on from there. And they really do go on and add to that. But I encourage actors to start with No Acting Please and Irreverent Acting, the yellow book and the red book. I color-coded them. But there's one other book for a beginning actor that is absolutely a necessity. And that's Freeing the Actor. That came much later. I couldn't have written it at the beginning. It's the book with the rainbow on the cover.
Yes, I love it.
It has 140 exercises and techniques to free the actor's instrument. So No Acting as an instrumental liberation. So those three books, I think, are great starting, because No Acting Please and Irreverent Acting, full circle of the work. They were meant to be one book, actually, both of them.
Really?
That was going to be one book. But after writing a couple hundred pages, I was sitting with Joan at her dining room table. And I said, you know, Joan, I think we're finished with this book. And she said, I think you're right. So I wrote Irreverent Acting later. I believe after I wrote Being and Doing. But I wrote that later. But it was meant to be one book. Because No Acting Please is theoretical and instrumental, and Irreverent Acting is a 100% craft, the process by which you address and fulfill material. So those two books make a complete circle of the work.
And for people that are listening and really loving the arts and creativity and other forms of healing, and through artistic expression, and self-expression, what book would you say or books would you advise for them in terms of liberating and freeing themselves if you're not an actor?
Well, they all relate indigenously to that. All of them relate to bringing up, like an acting from the ultimate consciousness. For example, I have 10 sample rehearsals. What you do in the first 10 rehearsals of a play, of a scene, whatever. And most actors don't know how to rehearse. What actors do once they get a role is they make their audition better by just being more familiar with the material, but they really don't know how to rehearse and create the reality. Most actors don't know how to do that. Oh, another thing I want to say, I believe all actors are my family. Now, I know that sounds maybe a little corny, but it's not. I really believe my heart goes out to everyone, every actor in the world. I feel it's part of my family, my extended family. I always give this example. I call actors my family, and people who are not actors, I call them the civilians. But it is an example I give in class all the time. I'm walking down Hollywood Boulevard, and I run smack face to face with another actor, and we look at each other, and we don't say one word to each other. We get it.
Yep.
We don't have to say any word. We understand. That's what I mean about family. The commitment, the love, the... I've never written a book to make money. I got into acting never thinking I was going to be a big star or that being the goal. I was passionate about and still passionate about the experience of acting, not acting, etc. Mm-hmm. It's changed my life. I mean, you know, I know that I have affected many, many people, thousands of people over the years. And I have a following in about 7 other countries than this one. And I say that because I feel grateful, not proud only, and not egocentric about it, but so grateful that I was given the opportunity somehow to let this in.
But you know, Eric, many pursue their dreams. Not many trust in their passions or turn their passions into, you know, what actually, how they pay their bills, you know?
Absolutely.
So it's really
right.
Admirable. And you have done that. And I believe like your passion and love for it and generosity with all you've learned is, continues to come back to you.
Well, it has come back to me in so many ways, and I'm so happy about it. But you know, I want to recommend a book I'm rereading that I read many years ago. It's called The Fervent Years. It's about the formation of the group theater, 1931 to 1941. They were in I've been reading this book. I've been digesting it like a 7-course meal. It makes me vulnerable. I cry. I'm touched by these people's, the people who started that and were involved in it were artists and creators and were poor and lived 10 of them in one apartment because they didn't have the money to pay rent. But their involvement, I'm not saying you have to be a starving actor, be an actor. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I make a very good living. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you have to have that nucleus, that excitement, that passion, that this is my life. Fortunately, I have never actually done anything except for maybe a few part-time jobs to get me through college. I've never done anything else except act, direct, teach, and write. So I have to say that I'm one of the lucky ones that I never had to do anything else other than this.
Well, You are very lucky. I have so many questions that I want to ask you.
Please ask me anything.
I'm going to. Okay, this is, and I love this. I think in particular, it was fascinating to be a part of, you know, Eric does and his wife, Susanna, do these, when you're a part of their acting groups, they'll do mini jamborees and then longer ones where it's intensives on particular topics that relate to acting. And you could explain it better, Eric. What would you really say one of your jamborees is more, how would you explain them?
Well, as long as you, I'm talking about Susanna. I met her in Argentina when I was there doing a film as an actor, and we connected, and she was acting in two professional, an evening episodic and a soap opera at the same time. She was teaching even then. So we've been together now 33 years. And she's brilliant, and we work together, we work separately, but we do this work. And what you're saying are, she teaches, I participate partially in the intensive. It's one weekend a month for a whole year. She teaches the work, works with people, and I come in on Saturdays and do the craft. And then we have jamborees. We have 3, 4, 5 jamborees a year. We have 3 mini jamborees and a major jamboree. And the jamborees are focused on usually dealing with the 3 days, usually dealing with one of the mega approaches, like subpersonalities or imaging, or one of the 5 mega approaches, which are choice approaches that are enormously powerful. So when we do a sub-personality mini jamboree, we concentrate for 3.5 days on teaching the work of sub-personalities, how to access sub-parts to act them. My latest book is called The Actor's Other Selves, which talks about that. I've been involved in sub-personality work since 1975 with Hal and Sidra Stone. And they've got 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 books on that process, which I recommend. The one I recommend to start with is Embracing Ourselves by Hal and Sidra Stone. It's wonderful. Subpersonalities is...
Yeah, why did you write your next book on subpersonalities?
I did.
Why? Out of, you know, well, all the different...
Because, you know, Hal and Sidra are not the only ones. There are dozens, maybe 20, 30 books on it and essays and things. But it's been around for a very long time. An English psychologist, Dr. Rowan, wrote a book called The People Inside of Us, which was all about subpersonalities. And I remember having lunch with Hal, and he hadn't written any books at the time. And I had written, I think, 1 at least or 2. I said, Hal, why don't you and Sidra write a book? And he said, oh, Eric, so tedious. We sit down and we somehow it's really tedious to do. So I said the magic words, you know. I said, well, I got to tell you, no acting, please put me on the map. It made me very visible.
Yep.
And he looked at me and his eyes grew big. 8 months later, their first book was out called Embracing Ourselves. It was published in California by Jeremy Tarcher Publications. I feel very responsible for the 7 books they wrote because I think I lit a fire under them.
I think you
and
did.
I'm so proud. I got so much from that man. I can't, and that woman too. She's wonderful. She's still here. You know, he passed away March 21st, and I dedicated this book to him.
So subpersonalities, you see this out of the mega approaches, do you see this as...
It's one of the 5. Imaging, some of the sense memory, affective memory, and externals are the other mega approaches. And they're all so powerful as mega approaches, they could create a whole system of acting by themselves. But I always say... So you have 5 golden tools. That's great. But what about all the other 31 choice approaches to, you know, they all work, you know? So
for you in this book, Because everybody, you guys can pre-order this book now.
They're shipping them. Do you see it?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and we'll have a link below. So explain a little bit, if you wouldn't mind, just about this book and what it's going, how it's going to support an actor.
Well, what I started to say is that there are many, 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 many books and articles and treatises on subpersonalities, but as far as I know, none of them have ever been written for the actor exclusively. Mm-hmm. This book is exclusively for the actor to use in fulfilling the responsibilities of character, relationship, and emotional life in a piece of material, a film, a television show, a play. This subpersonalities is a process by which you access that part of you to play the part for you.
And it's so powerful.
It's actually an altered state of reality. Once you actually access this subpersonality, it's an altered state of reality, an altered state of consciousness. You get into this and you function only in terms of the way that subpersonality functions in your life.
Yeah.
But
it was incredible to learn how to use this personally, going through and doing the Jamboree and seeing how to apply this technique. The difference in just seeing each performance come to life and how affected I was once it was applied it was incredible.
You're talking about using it yourself, which you did.
Using it myself and witnessing the other students in class, that when we first came in performing and then actually using this technique and going into our subpersonality, and then all of a sudden it was a whole different, it went from, you know, acting to coming to life. It was incredible.
Being experiential, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
I don't teach in the theater because of COVID-19, but I do have the two Zoom classes, one of which you are in. I have one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday, and they're working. So, don't you think they're working well?
Oh, it's amazing. And I think it's working great. It will be interesting. And I was never with you when you guys were actually in the theater, but I mean, for me, it's working great, especially with COVID. Okay. Now here's my other question for you. Actually, before checking the time, I do think it's working great. And everybody, we're going to put all the links are below for where you can see Eric, the classes that he has available, how he works. But one of the things that I'm constantly impressed by, which is so much, you know, you're 89 years old.
Thanks for reminding me.
I don't think of age, period. I'm like age is just a number to me. So I'm like, I just think it's for me at 89, I'm like, you're just beginning here. But my question for you is, during a time when I think, you know, with COVID, there's been so much going on. It's been really hard.
And
you wrote a book, in the shortest amount of time, in
four and a half months. Of course, that's the first book I ever wrote in under 3 years.
And you, when we talk today, you have another book that you've already started working on.
I think this book is designed to pull it all together. And it's called Defining the Eric Morris System of Experiential Acting. And I'm going to list every book and what's in it, you know, because the roadmap, people, you know, they won't have to say, oh, well, where can I get this? It's right there. I'm going to pull it all together.
I see that. I hear you do that. I'm sitting here. I'm witnessing you. And also in class, you know, you share, you have this curiosity still for life and this joy in experiencing everything. You know, you had even shared in class that before you go to bed, you go to sleep powerfully imagining different scenarios. That
we spend a third of our life sleeping while I'm using that time to work. Mm-hmm. Let me just say this very quickly. An actor is an actor 24 hours every day, 7 days a week, 4 weeks a month, 12 months a year for life. Yeah. Everything I do has to do with living and acting, acting and living. Everything I do, I have wonderful fantasy. Well, it all started. I hated to go to bed at night when I was younger. So in order to encourage myself to go to sleep, I would create a fantasy, and sometimes episodic. A fantasy would run a month sometime, 2 months. And now still I have ongoing fantasies, which I do at night trying to fall asleep. It takes me a long time to fall asleep. It always has. And so I do this fantasy until I nod off to sleep. And then the next night I pick up where I think I left off.
It's like your own story. Do you ever see your fantasies? Have they ever manifested into your reality?
Well, that's what imaging is all about.
I know.
I wrote a whole book on imaging. Imaging, you can have anything you want through imaging. You can actually be cured of a terminal illness by using imaging. And there's a book that was written about that called Getting Well Again by old Carl Simonton. Teaches people how to image. And for example, dozens of people were sent home to die. And of those, this is documented in the book, dozens of those people cured themselves, not remission, but cured themselves from stage 4 cancer, terminal cancer, using imaging. Now, I wrote a whole book about imaging for acting, but imaging for living is part of that too. There is no separation. And that book is... I have one case of a woman in class, a 75-year-old woman who was sent home to die. She had cancer everywhere, her breasts, her bones, her brain. She had it in her liver. She had it everywhere. She had chemo, surgery, radiation. And I recommended the book, and she started working with the book every day, hours every day for a year. Came into class once and she handed me a paper. She said, read it. It's from my oncologist. I sat there. I was absolutely blown away. In the paper, it said she had no evidence of cancer anywhere in her body. She was cancer free and the imaging did it. That's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah. And so I use it for various issues that come up for me physically and emotionally. Imaging is a wonderful thing. The difference between imaging and getting well again, mostly that's mental imaging. I've gone beyond that and added the sensory element to being able to image using all 5 senses, which makes it more impactingly pragmatic. So I've taken what I got from that book and added the sensory approach to it, which makes it much more.
It's, oh my gosh. So, Eric, I cannot thank you enough for being here. Everyone, please check out Eric Morris workshop, acting workshop. We have his links below. His next book, you can pre-order now on Amazon. All of his preceding books before that, we have links to as well. They are all available on Kindle and on Amazon. His book that he is currently writing, we will let you know when that comes out. Hopefully that'll come out in 2022.
That's going to be a while. This is a big job. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. And The Actor's Other Selves, you can pre-order now. And that's all about. That's exactly what we were talking about with the subpart. And yeah, so we're going to put all the links below. Eric is on Facebook. You can check out his website. You can check out his classes. Him and his wife are incredible. And as you can tell, it is so much more than an acting class. It's hard for me to even put into words. It's like life school, and it's just incredible. You're just amazing. And so inspiring. And I said this earlier, but I just feel so grateful to have found you. And I'm so happy to share you and to share everyone, everything that you've learned and dedicated your life to here. So thank you so much for being here. Again, everyone will have our links below. And I want to thank you again for...
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I really enjoyed it. I loved doing this.
You're the best. You're absolutely the best. And thank you, everyone. And I will see you next week for the Wholeness Podcast.
Thank you for joining me today. If this podcast episode was super helpful for you, please share with your friends. Guys, sharing is caring. What would mean the world is an awesome review on iTunes. Simply click and give your 5-star review so I can keep bringing you great content to support you in shining bright, playing big, and living as your most beautiful, authentic, and powerful self in a body you love. This show doesn't stop here, so join our exclusive and private Facebook community called Wholeness with Melissa Catherine. Simply ask to join to receive endless complimentary videos, monthly Facebook lives exclusive for this community, and be a part of an awesome, sacred, safe space of incredible, like-minded women just like you, where you can feel heard, expressed, and received additional for you this month. So if you've been struggling to understand why you sabotage the things that you want, girl, this is my zone of genius and this is what I do. So I have created a quiz for you based off of my international best-selling book called Eat Right for Your Archetype. This quiz is going to help you to identify which archetype you are, so you can break free from self-sabotage to release weight and step into your power in life. So this is so much more. Even if you don't have to release weight, this is about being healthy, and your health and wellness is what empowers you to your greatness. So simply head on over to melissacatherine.com/quiz to take that quiz today, and you will receive your results right away, right in your inbox. All right. Thanks so much, guys. And I will see you in the next episode.